our guest needs a minimal introduction. On October 4th, 1997, he came to Autzen and wrecked my 37th birthday as the Cougs beat the Ducks 24-13. He is a football analyst, college, NFL. He hosts the Bust podcast. He's here courtesy of the Believe Podcast Network. On Twitter, his handle is at Ryan D. Leaf. Ryan, greatly appreciate your time. How's life for you and the family these days?
We're good. Thanks for having me. Happy Super Bowl week.
Yeah, you too. You know, I've got to start with a guy who played here, picked sixth overall in the 2020 draft, obviously a franchise near and dear to you. We know he was a big-time talent at Oregon, and I don't know that many people saw him skyrocket up the list of top-flight quarterbacks this quickly. Ryan, what's been your read on Justin Herbert's career two seasons in?
Oh, it's been so great. I was absolutely mesmerized. I was in London, and I was up at, I don't know what it was, 4:30 a.m. watching that final game between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers, and that final drive to get them into overtime may have been some of the best play I've ever seen out of the quarterback position. And this is something that I saw from Justin Herbert all along, covering him in college. I expected him to be, if not the number one overall pick, well, I believe he should have been the number one overall pick. Him and Joe Burrow were 1A and 1B, in my opinion, and they surely have played that way since getting in the NFL. Really, really fun to watch him play. Got a chance to go to the Giants game this year. Saw him on the field before the game. Just so happy to see his maturation and his success at the next level.
You know, your story, well documented. I know you were on with Maggie and Perloff earlier today, from college to the NFL to some of the struggles you've had. But now you're someone who provides inspiration, guidance. I know you spoke with Dr. Josie Nicholson last week about mental health and the gut-wrenching story of the late Washington State quarterback, Tyler Helinski. So, you know, I always think it's important to get the message out, just like you say. Get it across to people. It's okay not to be okay. Just get help.
It is. I mean, it's imperative, right? I think for the longest time, what's limited people from seeking the help that they need is because of the stigma that has been and exists in our country, right? Big, strong, no one who shows emotion, no one shows vulnerability or transparency. That's kind of been what's held everybody back. I think that tide is turning. I think that's changing, and my hope is that we continue to tell our stories who have been impacted by mental illness and addiction issues and things like that, that we can make a big difference and a big change and help people who continue to struggle or still struggle.
Talking with Ryan Leaf, certainly Cougar football remains near and dear to you. They had a roller coaster of a season, the departure of their head coach, Nick Rolovich. Jake Dickert takes over, finishes really strong, a decisive Apple Cup victory. So, Ryan, what's the word about the job he did, kind of stepping in, offering stability, and in a rarity, an interim coach getting the job full time?
Yeah, I was really impressed with his ability to step into the fire and come out successful, right? I mean, he essentially had an on-the-job interview for about 5 weeks, and he made the most of it. I don't think there was anything Pat Chung could have done. He had to give the young man the job and his first opportunity as a head coach simply because of what he was able to do. But I will say this, he hasn't dilly-danced around, right? He has went out and put his own staff together. He's recruited hard. Recruiting was decimated because of Nick Rolovich's lack of ability to go have in-person visits because of his unwillingness to get vaccinated. And so that put them behind the eight ball when it came to recruiting. And Jake Dickert and his staff went out there and did it. They found a new offensive system, they're trying to call it a coup grade, where they're going to utilize the tight end a little bit more, but went and got down Coach Morris from Incarnate Word and brought him up to be offensive coordinator. Along with that, they bring their record-breaking quarterback in Cam Ward, who's going to vie for the quarterback position there. So they lose Jaden Delora, freshman of the year, led the league in touchdowns. I was a little disappointed in that, but I think that's the move that that's made when you change offenses and you're trying to put your identity in place like Jake Dickert is.
Ryan, another thing that's fascinating is the NIL. It's relatively new, name, image, likeness. You know, the legislation allowing college athletes to cash in. I'm always about the players benefiting. We know it's a billion-dollar industry. So as this has taken root, what's been your read on student athletes getting their slice of this incredible financial pie?
Well, I would expect there to be some issues around, you know, the oversight of it. I mean, is this going to be something that is just done, like, in the shadows, but legally, you know, or is there going to be some sort of oversight where, you know, there isn't, you know, a $100 million slush fund out there put aside by big-time boosters that allow for coaches to go out and do some different things. We'll see. I think it's a benefit to every player out there that they are compensated when their name, image, and likeness is being used. I thought this was going to be, I was a little naive to it. I thought it was going to be a little less than that. I thought it was going to be more localized than it has been. So I don't foresee it getting too out of control. But I think it can only benefit programs and players moving forward.
We continue with Ryan Leaf. I saw you were on the Sklar Brothers podcast, and I found the story of your recruitment to Washington State interesting because you were a two-player sport in high school. You verbal to the Cougs and Mike Price, but you were also being pursued by the late Terry Donahue at UCLA, Dennis Erickson at Miami. What could you share about that entire process that eventually landed you successfully in Pullman?
Well, I think it all came down to Mike Price, right? I mean, he was the head coach. He was the guy that ultimately swayed me simply by, you know, telling me something very simple, you know, that if I went there, that him and I would play in the Rose Bowl together. And I believed him, you know, fully. I didn't do any research. I hadn't realized I hadn't been there since 1931. And it was a leap of faith, but it was still the best decision I ever made because, of course, it gave me an unbelievable opportunity to learn from a great quarterback coach who had taught the likes of Drew Bledsoe and Jack Thompson, and he taught me a lot about not only playing the position, but you know, the man that I needed to be, and I got to thank him a ton for that. And I love the fact that I'm a Washington State graduate, that I'm a Cougar, and that's the decision I made when I was 18. That's something that I knew that I would be the rest of my life.
Yeah, at the time, you could say, like, hey, get to the Rose Bowl every 65 years like clockwork.
yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
The conversation then turned to Joe Burrow. I mean, if you think about it, the summer of 2019, nobody could have probably picked this guy out of a lineup, and you were all discussing how one guy can change an attitude. So you got to spend some time with Joe before he was drafted. And if I heard correctly, he wasn't like, well, you didn't crush it in the NFL, or who the hell are you? Rather, he was just interested in learning as much as he can.
Yeah, that was unique. And a lot of the great quarterbacks are like that. I worked at the Combine a few years before with Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and those guys, and they were exactly the same. They just were sponges. You know, they wanted to know more, learn more. How could they be better? And that's what's made them so successful. And Joe Burrow was exactly like that, right? You know, he didn't look up his nose at me or down his nose at me and say, you know, you didn't succeed at what I'm trying to go do, so therefore you have nothing to part with, you know, part with me in terms of education. He was notebook open, ready to listen, asked a bunch of questions, and it's just, it was all about the work, all about being the best possible version of himself as a football player that he could be.
A couple final thoughts for Ryan Leaf, who does a terrific job analyzing college, NFL, ESPN, the Bus Park podcast as part of the Believe Podcast Network. So now we're down to Rams and Bengals. Obviously, L.A. made the big move to get Stafford. I mean, the defense led by Aaron Donald. So, Ryan, what pops to you about this team that makes you think, yeah, maybe the Rams are going to win the Lombardi?
Well, I mean, they've put together a super team, right? They've brought in the likes of future Hall of Famer Von Miller, you know, a stud in OBJ at wide receiver. That was a big question mark on whether he could contribute. They have stars like Aaron Donald and and Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford and a coaching phenom and prodigy and Sean McVay. So, I mean, the most expectation out there is for the Rams to win this game, and it has been all year with how much they mortgaged their draft capital for the future to bring in Stafford and bring in these other pieces. So I could argue that there's no bigger pressure than there is on this team and these players. And if they aren't, and if they weren't able to win the Super Bowl next Sunday, you could look at this season as a failure, which is unfortunate, but it's true, because they thought that Jared Goff just wasn't enough, and they went out and got that they thought they could, but they mortgaged a ton of their future for the immediacy right now.
And lastly, of course, the Bengals. I mean, this team is so interesting. Heck, their kicker with 4 of 4 on field goals in 3 straight playoff games. We know the offensive line a little bit of a challenge. So same question with Cincinnati. What are you seeing? Where do you think, yep, they have a shot to win their first ever Super Bowl title?
Well, they got number 9 back there. And that for me is telling enough. And then what they've been able to do on the defensive side of things, right? The mid-game adjustments, in particular in the Kansas City games in Week 17 and the AFC Championship, they have been so good. And they've asked a lot of Hilton in the slot and Jesse Bates on the back end. And then they really asked a lot of their 3-down linemen, because they've only rushed 3 after the injury earlier in the playoffs. So they've been really impressive on the defensive side of things. They have the strongest kicker in the game. Matt Gay has had some struggles, had some injuries that have limited him. He's missed some field goals this season. McPherson hasn't missed one on the road all year long, so you got to give the advantage there if there's a close football game, which I anticipate it being. I think this shapes up to be a very competitive Super Bowl, and I think the team that has the best defensive effort up front and getting to the quarterback and making them uncomfortable is going to be the team that ultimately wins.
Hey, folks, he's Ryan Leaf, breaks it down, college, pro, podcast, guest spots, a lot of great stuff on Twitter. Check out the handle at Ryan D. Leaf. Ryan, great catching up again. I really appreciate you being so generous with your time. Wishing you and your family well. Thanks a million, and as always, look forward to talking again down the road.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, have a good one.